Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Gittin, daf Mem Dalet. We left off Mem Gimel Amud Beis at the Mishnah, a little bit further down than the middle of the Amud. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and Le'ili Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Aleha Shalom, and we thank Dr. Lander for his continued sponsorship of the daf Yomi shiur. So today we're going to cover essentially one primary topic. The Mishnah is going to tell us that if a person sells his Eved to either a Goy or he lives in Eretz Yisrael and then he sells the Eved outside of Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laretz, then the Eved goes free. And we're going to see why the Eved goes free. And we are then going to talk about a whole bunch of topics relating to this halacha. For example, if a person borrows money from an Oved Kachavim and designates the Eved as collateral, does the Eved necessarily go free? Does it depend on what type of collateral the person designates the Eved as? Does it depend on whether he stipulates that he's going to pay back the loan by a certain date and the date has come and gone and he hasn't paid the loan back? So we're going to talk a lot about what happens when one essentially puts his Eved at risk of ownership being transferred to an Oved Kochavim. The Gemara is then going to talk about a situation of what happens if somebody forcibly takes the Eved from him. So let's say a bunch of bandits come and take the Eved, so it's not his fault, he didn't sell the Eved to them, and he can't get the Eved back, but they're willing to pay him. So once they steal the Eved, is he able to accept money, or is that considered as if he's selling his Eved to an Akum? The Gemara toward the bottom of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph is going to talk about what happens if a person did sell his Eved to an Oved Kachavim. Do we impose a knas on the person, and what sort of knas do we impose on the person? And that's going to get the Gemara going on a discussion of what happens if the master who sold his Eved to the Oved Kachavim is no longer alive, but his son is alive, and his son inherited all of his property. So if we were to impose a knas on a person who sells his Eved to an Oved Kachavim, and that person is no longer alive, would we impose the knas on the person's son in his stead? We're going to bring rayas back and forth from different situations. In some situations, the Chachamim do impose a knas on the children of the perpetrator. In some situations, the Chachamim do not impose a knas, and we're going to try to figure out what exactly the rationale is over here. And then we're going to talk about, let's say somebody sells his Eved to somebody in Chutz Laretz, says he requires a get shichur. The question is, who does he require a get shichur from? Is it from the first master, from the second master? What happens if he sells his Eved to somebody who has property both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Laretz? So does he then go free in that case? What happens if he sells his Eved in Surya? What happens when a husband marries a woman, when a man marries a woman in Eretz Yisrael, but the man then wants to leave to Chutz Laretz, the Avadim go free, and can he take the Avadim with him? So it's all about somebody who sells an Eved either to a guy or to Chutz Laretz. So without further ado, the Mishnah on Mem Gimel Amud Beis, Hamocher Avdo Lovet Kachavim, Lovet Kachavim, if a person sells his Eved to Avdei Kachavim, Ola Chutz Laretz, or if he sells him into Chutz Laretz, Yatza Ben Chorin, then he goes free. Why would he go free? So says Rashi, well, what this means is im barach min oved kachavim. So there are two interpretations. One is yatzah ben chorin if he escapes from the Akum. Obviously, if he's in the possession of the Akum, the Beis Din doesn't have the jurisdiction over the Akum to say, you have to release the Eved. The Akum is not going to listen to the Beis Din. So what it means is, he's obviously in the possession of the Akum right now, but if he were to escape from the possession of the Akum, then we would say, Beis Din would say that he goes free. He doesn't have to go back and he doesn't have to work for the first master. Says Rashi, oh, shekansu Beis Din levdoso, kedemer lekaman de kontzenosa levdoso, uche sheyivdenu lo yishtabelo, v'knas chachamim hu, and it's a knas chachamim, meaning that, he goes free. Why? Beis Din doesn't have jurisdiction over the Akum. Correct. But Beis Din is going to force the guy who sold him to the Akum, Beis Din is going to force the original master to redeem the Eved. And once the master redeems the Eved, it's not like he gets to work the Eved. At that point, the Eved is going to go free. Says Rashi, it's a knas. Why? Because hol v'efkiu min ha-mitzvahs. Because he was mafkia the Eved from mitzvahs. Again, we're talking about an Eved Kanani. An Eved Kanani is chayev in mitzvahs ki'isha. And when he sells the Eved to a guy, he's basically guaranteeing that the Eved is not going to be able to perform mitzvahs because the Goy is not going to permit the Eved the opportunity, the ability to perform mitzvahs. He's going to make him work on Shabbos and in Yontif, etc. And what's the big deal with selling the Eved to Chutz Laretz? Says Rashi over here at the end, on the Mishnah, V'chein l'chutz laretz, yatzalacheres, v'neishar tziyo meretz l'chutz laretz. That because he causes them to violate the Isser of leaving Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, because he's causing the Eved to violate an Isser, also we're going to impose a Knas on him, that the Eved is going to go free. And then Rashi concludes by saying, in the Gemara, we talk about who we impose the Knas on. Do we impose the Knas on the Mocher? Do we impose the Knas on the Lokeach? Meaning, is it the Rabbo Rishon or the Rabbo Sheni who bears the brunt of this Knas that the Mishnah describes? So says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Hamocher Avdol of the Kachavim Yatzal Lecheres, Vitzarech Get Shichur Mei Rabba Rishon, that if a person sells his Eved to an Obed Kachavim, then the Eved goes free. As Rashi pointed out, we require the seller to redeem the Eved, and at that point the Eved goes free. Vitzarech Get Shichur Mei Rabba Rishon, and he also requires to get Shichur from his original master. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamaliel ba Medvar Mamurim Shalokasav Alavono. That's only where the Rabbo Rishon did not write Ono on the get. What is Ono? We're going to see in a second. Aval Kasav Alav Ono Zeu Shechruro. But if the first master already wrote in Ono when he sold the get to an Obe Kachavim, then he no longer requires a get shechur because the Ono is the get shechur. My Ono, says the Gemara, what's this Ono that we're talking about? Samar of Sheshes, the Kosav Leachi, that he writes the following to the Eved. Lichesh Tivrach Mimenu Ein Li Esek Bach. I am selling you to the guy, but know that when you escape from the guy's possession, I no longer have anything to do with you. And the Rashba says that the reason that that is Shechruro is because that is the Lashon of Shechruro. Essentially, he is relinquishing all of his rights to the Eved. Not immediately, because he already sold the Eved to the Obed Kachavim, but he's saying, if you ever come to a situation where you escape from the Akum and I am eligible to take you back, I'm relinquishing my ability to take you back. That is considered to be a Shechruro of the Eved. Says the Gemara in Avaiter, two dots. Tana Rabbanan, Lova Lovin Obed Kachavim, if a Jew borrows from an Obed Kachavim and made the Eved into an apotiki, made the Eved into a mashkon, into collateral for the loan. So Kivan Sha'asolo Obed Kachavim Nimuso, as soon as the Obed Kachavim does something called Nimuso, which is a custom, as soon as the Obed Kachavim does a specific custom with the Eved, Yatzal Echeris, the Eved is going to go, the Eved is going to go free. So my Nimuso, what exactly does Nimuso mean? If a person made his Eved into an apotiki for a guy because he borrowed money from the guy, what's the Nimuso that the guy can do at which point the Eved goes free? Samaravuna Brabiuda Nashki. It means a seal. Meaning, it's a, Rashi says, it's a chosam, it's a type of seal that's a simen avdus. Why? Because they would hang the seal around the necks of an eved like a necklace. So, if the Jew borrows money from the guy, and the Jew designates the eved as collateral for, to secure the loan that he took from the guy, and then the guy has the eved wear the seal around his neck, then it's already as if he's treating the eved as his own, and therefore the eved is going to go free. Says the Gemara, Masav Rav Sheshes is asking now on the concept that Nimuso means Nashki, that Nimuso means a seal. Ha'arisin v'achakiros, if you have an aris or a tenant farmer, you have a sharecropper or a tenant farmer, va'arise bateyavos. Arise bateyavos means that there's a generational relationship of the Jew sharecropping the guy's land. Or you have an Obed Kachavim who made his field as collateral to a loan for a loan that he took from a Jew. So this is all going the other way, where it's the guy who owns the land, but the Jew who has some sort of relationship with the land. Afal pi sha'asa lo nimuso, even if the Jew did this nimuso on the land, p'turim in a meiser, it's going to be p'tur from meiser. Why? Because the only time the field is going to be chayv v'maaser if it's owned by the Jew, so long as it's owned by the guy, the field is not going to be chayv v'maaser. And then what we're saying over here in the Braisa, the chiddush is that even though the Jew has some sort of connection to the land because he's a sharecropper or he's a tenant farmer, even if he makes nimuso, the field is still not going to be chayv in maaser. Says the Gemara, Visal Kadai Tech Nashki, and if you want to say, what's nimuso? We said nimuso is a seal that you hang around the Eved's neck. So, Sada Bas Nashki, does it make any sense to talk about, oh, that the field is going to be putter from Meiser, even if the Jew made Nimuso on the field, even if the Jew hung a seal around the field's neck? That doesn't make any sense. Elamar Rav Sheshes, Zman. Not Nimuso means Zman. So in other words, Zman means that there is a set time period for the repayment of the loan, and then the Zman for the loan comes. As Rashi says, that he stipulates, Imlo Paratichal Zman Plonie Chavavlach, that if I don't repay the loan by a date certain, then this field is going to go to you. But then Rashi says that, then the Gemara says rather, that kasha zman azman, that in that case there's a kasha of zman on zman, meaning if the problem with making the evidence a collateral and stipulating that if I don't repay the loan by a date certain, then this thing belongs to you. So I understand if the Jew designated the evidence as collateral for the loan that he took from the guy, and he says, if I don't pay you back by a certain date, then the Eved belongs to you, and the Zman came and went, now I understand why the Eved goes free, because functionally, that's as if the Jew transferred him to the Akum. But the flip side is, if the guy made his field in collateral to a loan that he took from a Jew, and the Zman passed, then Lechora, the field should be in the possession of the Jew, and then why is it Pater from Iser? It should be Chaya from Iser. Says the Gemara, Lokasha, Hadamatazmani, Hadalomatazmani. Because in the case of the Eved, we're talking about where he said, if I don't pay you back by a date certain, this thing is going to be yours, and the date passed, so the Eved belongs to the guy, therefore he goes free. By the Sadeh, he said, the guy said, if I don't pay you back by a date certain, the field is going to go to you, and the reason that the field is putter for Meiser is because that Zman hasn't passed yet. It's because the maturity of the loan hasn't occurred yet. Says the Gemara, Ela gabe Eved demata Zmane tzricha lemeimar. But is it really a chiddush? You have to tell me that the Eved goes free if the time for repayment of the loan already comes? The Mishnah told me that Amochar Avdo la'akam yotza l'cheres, that if a person sells his Eved to an Akam, then the Eved goes free. And now you're telling me, oh, chiddush, that if you borrow money from a guy and you make the Eved into collateral and you say, if I don't pay you back by June 28th, and the Eved is going to go free, and comes June 28th, and I haven't paid him back, then the Eved is going to... Of course, the date already passed, so of course you're not going to go free. Of course the Eved is not going to go free, because it's already the next day. So says the Gemara, No, they're both talking about a case where the Zman hasn't come. So what's the situation? That one is where he says that the guf of the item is going to go to you. In the other case, it's that the peiros of the item are going to go to you. What does that mean? So we need Rashi for this. So the last Rashi on the page says, Halugufa gabe eved kava bozman lugufo. By eved, we're talking about, he said that if I don't pay you back by a certain date, then the gufa eved is going to belong to you. Shem lo yitein lo ad osozman ye gufa chalot lo bekochavim. The achshav haye meshtabe bo, and from that time the eved is meshtabe to the akam. The kivan de zilzol batakanta de rabbanan the osur limkor eved lo bekochavim kansu. This guy is mezalzel in the takana of the chachamim. Why? Because the chachamim said specifically, do not sell an eved to an ovei kochavim. This guy is putting the Eved at risk. He's creating a situation where the Eved is at risk of having to go to the Oved Kochavim. And therefore, the Rabbanan gave him a knas, v'afal gav de lo matazmane. Even though the time for payment of the loan hasn't yet occurred, it's because this guy was mezalzel in the kind of the Chachamim, we're going to force him to free the Eved. V'gabe sadeh de kavalo zman leperos. That, in other words, and by sadeh, the guy never stipulated that if I don't pay you back by a date certain, the field is going to belong to you. He said, if I don't pay you back by a date certain, the peiros, you're going to have an entitlement to the peiros in the field. So, achshav lo tochal peiros. Right now, the Jew cannot eat the peiros, cannot consume the peiros of the field. Vimlo efralachal yom ploni achal peiros acheframosecha. But if I don't pay you back by a date certain, then you could start eating the peiros until I pay you back. Hilka chafilo matazmani lav mechiri v'kolshkein b'dlo matazmani. Therefore, even after the due date for the loan comes, it's not like the Jew owns the property. The Jew owns an entitlement to eat the peiros of the property. But that's not going to be mechayev the property in Meiser, because the property is chayev in Meiser only if it's actually owned by the Jew. So that's the distinction between the case of the Jew, the case of the Eved, rather, and the case of the field. Says the Gemara, now turning to Mem Dalet, Aleph, Yibaz Emav, Bishalava, Almanas Lamashkano Velo Mashkano. That it's where he borrowed on condition to give a mashkon, but he didn't actually take the mashkon. In other words, Rashi says that it's going to be potter from Meiser because the guy offered to make the field as collateral, but the Jew never came to actually collect the collateral. So in other words, the property doesn't actually belong to the Jew. So long as the Jew hasn't actually collected the property as collateral, it's not going to be chayav in Meiser. However, by Eved, even if the guy never came to collect the Eved as collateral, says Rashi, again, because this guy was mezalzel on the Takana of the Chachamim, because the Chachamim said, don't sell your Eved to a guy, he put the Eved at risk because the guy could have come and taken the Eved, even though practically the guy didn't come and take the Eved, still we're going to impose a knas on the owner. Says the Gemara in Avaiter, Tanu Rabbanan Gavol B'chovo, let's say a Jew borrowed money from a guy, did not make the Eved into a mashkon. However, the Jew defaulted on the loan, and then the guy came and collected the Eved of the Jew as repayment of the chov. So in other words, bottom line is, the Eved is now in possession of the guy, but it's not really the Jew's fault, because it's not like he designated him as collateral. Oh, shalakho sukrikin, or extortionists came and basically took the Eved, and Rashi says this is a time period where basically the Sukrikin can run rampant, and the lives of the Jewish people were at risk, and the guy, we're talking about a scenario where the guy went over to the Jew and said, you better give me your Eved or I'm going to kill you. And we all know that if this guy wanted to kill the Jew, then he would have been able to. So the Jew basically, the Jew was Eved-jacked. So it's like somebody came over and said, I'm going to kill you unless you give me the Eved. So the Jew gave him the Eved. So what are you going to do? He says the Gemara, lo yatzal acheres. In that case, he doesn't go free because the whole thing is a knas chachamim. In other words, because the chachamim said, don't put your Eved in a position where he could wind up being owned by a guy. This Jew didn't do any such thing. All he did was borrow money. He did not designate the Eved as collateral. In the case of Sukrikin, the Jew's mamish a victim. So therefore, the Eved doesn't go free. Says the Gemara of Chov lo, really, he doesn't go free if he was collected on account of a chov that the Jew owed the guy. V'ramini, frek the Gemara kasha, haresha anso, beis hamelech garno, that if the beis hamelech comes and basically takes the Jew's produce in bechovo, if it's because he owed taxes, for example, to the king, then chayiv laaser, then he's going to be chayiv to give meiser. But imba an paros, however, if stam, like indiscriminately and like gratuitously, the king's men came and stole this guy's produce, then potter milaser, then he's going to be potter from giving meiser. But the bottom line is, we said that if the Beis HaMelech comes and takes a Jew's property because the Jew owes the Beis HaMelech money, the Jew is still going to be chayiv to give meiser. Why? He didn't designate the produce as an apotiki. Stam, they came and they collected it for the chov. He's still going to be chayiv and meiser. So how come if the Jew owed the guy money and the guy comes and collects the Eved, even if he did not designate the Eved as an apotiki, why don't we give him a knas that the Eved goes free? So says the Gemara, Shani Yasam de Kamashtar Shilei. Well, over there is different because he profited. What does it mean that he profited? It means that the Jew profited because he owed the king money, and instead of actually collecting currency, the Beis HaMelech came and they collected produce. So the bottom line is, he didn't want the produce to go over to the king, but at the end of the day, he benefited because it's as if his chov was repaid, therefore he's chayiv to give meiser. However, remember, by Eved, by meiser, in other words, what Rashi explains is, by meiser, we just care about a basic demarcation. Did the guy get anah from the fact that his field was collected or not? By Eved, it's all about a knas. The only time we're going to impose a knas, a penalty on somebody, is if he did something that was sort of negligent and irresponsible to put the Eved at risk. Because the Chachamim said, don't sell your Eved to a guy. So if the Jew does something that's not really selling an Eved to a guy, but putting the Eved at risk of being collected by a guy, then we're going to penalize the Jew. All this guy did was lend money. He didn't even make the Eved into collateral. Therefore, if the Eved is collected on account of the Chov, he's not going to get the Knas because he did not make him into collateral. Says the Gemara in Avaiter about six lines down. Tashma. If you sell your Eved to a blackmailer who's an Akum, then the Eved goes free. So the guy blackmailed you into selling the Eved. Why are we going to impose a knas? Well, because he should have appeased the blackmailer through something else. Nobody said that he should have given his Eved over to the blackmailer. Gufa, Amarav, Hamokar Avdo Lafarang Obe Kachavim. If you sell your Eved to a blackmailer who's a guy, then Yatzel Acheris. Then he goes free. My Havile Lemevad. What should he have done? The guy's a blackmailer. Havile Lafayas Lopies. Because you should have appeased him through something else and you didn't. Meaning, so to the bottom line is like this. If you made your Eved into an apotiki, into collateral for a loan, then you're going to be chayiv to free the Eved, even if the guy never came and collected the Eved as collateral, because the second you made your Eved into an apotiki, the Chachamim imposed a knas because you were being mezalzel in the takana of the Chachamim. However, if you did not make your Eved into an apotiki, and the guy came and collected and basically took the Eved on account of the loan, then whether the Eved goes free or not depends on the following. Could you have appeased the guy through something else or not? If you could have appeased the guy through something else, then the Eved goes free. If you could not have appeased the guy through something else, then the Eved doesn't go free. So in other words, the way the Mefarshim break down this Gemara is that even though the Havile Lafayis Vlopayis is talking about a blackmailer, the same thing holds true for a lender. If the lender tries to come and collect the Eved when you didn't designate him as an apotiki, whether the Eved goes free or not depends on whether you could have satisfied the loan through some other means. Says the Gemara now, how about the following? Boy Rav Yirmiya, Machru L'shol Shemyom Mahu. Let's say you don't sell the Eved permanently, you sell the Eved only for a 30-day period or some other specified period. What is the halacha? Does the Eved go free or not? So Tashma, Yamarav, Hamokra Avdo Lafarang Ove Kachavim Yatzel Acheris. That if a person sells his Eved to a blackmailer, then the Eved goes free. So, and the blackmailer usually gives back the Eved, is the implicit assumption. Hasam Lafarang Ove Kachavim Shena Chozeres. No, we're talking about a blackmailer who's not going to give the Eved back. Machru Chutz Mimlachto Mahu. Let's say the Chavim said you're not allowed to sell your Eved to an Akum, but if you do sell the Eved to an Akum, then he goes free. Let's say it was a sale, but it wasn't a complete sale. Not a complete sale, meaning you sell the Eved, but not the Malach of the Eved. Chutz min mitzvahs mahu. You sell the Eved to the Akum, but you say, legabe, the performance of mitzvahs, I still own you. So you still have to perform mitzvahs, even though now you're in the possession of the guy. Chutz min shabbasas v'yamintovim mahu. If you sell him except for Shabbos and Yontif, he comes back, so there's no risk that he's going to violate Shabbos and Yontif. What's the halacha then? Does the Eved go free? The Gertosha Mahu. What about if you sell him to a Gertosha? The Ger is a guy, Gertosha is a guy who lives in Eretz Yisrael, who is Makabel, the Zion Mitzvah's B'nai Noach, but not other halacha. So does he go free? Is a Gertosha considered to be a guy or a Jew? The Yisrael Mumamahu. What if you sell him to an apostate Jew? Likuti Mahu. What if you sell him to a Kuti? There's a machlokas throughout Shas whether the Kutim were Gere MS or Gere Arayas. Were they Megayer because they were sincere, or were they Megayer because they were afraid they were going to be eaten alive by lions? So Aposha Mia Chada. So it says the Gemara, we could at least answer one of these questions. The Gertoshav Areyu Kovet Kochavim. That if you sell him to a Gertoshav, it's like selling him to a guy. Kuti Yisrael Mumer, Amrilo Kovet Kochavim, Ramilo Ki Yisrael. I don't know the halacha by a Kuti and Yisrael Mumer. I go both ways. I could see both ways. Is it like a guy? Is it a Jew? But if you sell to a Gertoshav, it's like selling to a guy, says the Gemara. Okay, now at the two dots, a little bit higher than halfway down. So boy mine me rabbi ami. Eved sheipalatzmo legaisos. If an eved subjects himself to bandits, vein rabba yocholotzi alobedine yisrael velobedine of a kachavim, and the master cannot get the eved free. He can't take the guy to a basin. He can't take the bandits to a basin because they're not going to listen to the psak. Nor can he free the eved by recourse to the guyish court system. Ma sheital as dumbav. What is the halacha legabe if? Legabe, is he allowed to accept money? In other words, the bandit sees the Eved, he can't get the Eved back, but the bandits say, you know what, we're willing to pay you. Is he allowed to accept the money? Meaning the Ritva says, is this considered to be a mechira or not? Because you're not allowed to sell your Eved to an Akum, are you allowed to accept money for the Eved if they're not willing to give the Eved back? So you have to go look in the Mechilta to see whether there's a brisa that talks about this. Nufak dafa ashkach. He wound up finding a brisa that's a raya. The Tanya, we learned the following. Hamocher beis olav de kachavim. If you sell your house to an Ove Kochavim, then Dama Vasurin, then you're not allowed to benefit from the money because you're not supposed to be selling your house in Eretz Yisrael to a guy. We're talking only about in Eretz Yisrael, obviously. What if a guy forcibly takes your house and you're not able to get your house back? Mutar litol es damav. Then you are allowed to take money for the house. Because it's as if you're saving it from their hands. Says the Gemara, well, Vadilma hani mili bayis to keep in the losagi le below bayis lo asi lizvune. Maybe the only reason why I'm allowed to collect them, why I'm allowed to keep the money that the guy's willing to pay me for my house is because I need a house to live in. I only have one house. And therefore, it's not as if, oh, if I'm allowed to keep this money that they give me in lieu of returning my house that they repossessed, then I'm just going to be in the habit of selling my homes. I'm never going to be in the habit of selling my homes because I need a place to live. I need a roof over my head. Aval avda of the sagi lay below avda, however, by an eved where he can exist without an eved. Osi lizvune. Then, if we're going to permit me to keep the money that they're willing to give me on account of seizure of the eved, then I should be afraid maybe I'm actually going to sell the eved. Olo or not. So what's the halacha? So shalach lu Rabbi Ami. So says Rabbi Ami, this is an interesting lashon, mini ami bar nasan tori yotza l'chol Yisrael. From me, Ami Bar Nasan, Torah will go out to the entire Jewish people. Eved Shehipel Atzma Lagaisos is his way of saying, listen up, here's the halacha. Eved Shehipel Atzma Lagaisos, if an Eved subjects himself to bandits, Vein Rabbi Yochel Otziyo Lobedin Yisroel Lobedin Obtukokhavim, and there's no way for the master to actually get the Eved back, Mutter Lita Lazdamav, you are allowed to accept money for the Eved, the Kosev Amale Bar Kosh, Alov the Kochavim Neshu, Kamatzel Miyadam, because it's as if you're saving the Eved. In other words, it dissuades people from taking Avadim if they know ultimately they're going to have to pay. But it's not considered to be a Mechira because it was not a voluntary commercial transaction. Says the Gemara Vaiter, Amar of Yeshua ben Levi, Amokra, Abdullah the Kochavim, Konsenoso Admei Abadamav. If you sell your Eved to an Akum, we give you a Knas up to 100 times the value of the Eved. Says the Gemara, Dafka Olav Dafka. This is like, so when you say 100 times the value of the Eved, does that literally mean 100 times the value of the Eved? Or do we just, or is this the Gemara's way of exaggerating and saying, we're going to give you a Knas? But it's Lav Dafka, 100 times the value of the Eved. Tashma, we learn the following. If you sell a Behema Gasa to an Ove Kochavim, ad eser bedamea. We're going to give you a knas until 10 times the value of the behema. Now, why aren't you allowed to sell a behema gasa to a guy? Because it's Xera, maybe you might rent a behema gasa to a guy. What's the big deal if you rent a behema gasa to a guy? The problem is, if you rent a behema gasa to a guy, and the guy's going to do work with a behema gasa, and he's going to come to you on Friday afternoon, right before Shabbos, and try to rent the animal, you're going to rent the animal, and you might violate Isurei Shabbos, Alachos of Shabbos, by either causing the animal to work, or by causing the animal to move or not move, and therefore, in order to make sure that you wouldn't rent a Behema Gasa to a guy, they also said that you're not allowed to sell a Behema Gasa to a guy. But what are we proving from here? So we said that there's a knas of until 10 times, up to 10 times the value of the Behema Gasa, and Rashi points out, Alma Bahanach Tekanus Rabbana B'mechira Dedu Lo Kanus Kuliyai. So you're not allowed to sell a Behema Gasa. You're not allowed to sell an Eved. By the Behema Gasa, it says if you sell the Behema Gasa, then we're going to give you a Knas up to 10x, the value of the Behema Gasa. So obviously, when it says by Eved that we're going to give you a Knas up to 100x, it's an exaggeration, because we know that when the Chachamim want to give you a Knas, they'll give you a Knas only up to 10 times the value, not 100 times the value. It says the Gemara, V'dilma Shani Eved, Dekol Yoma V'yoma Mafka L'mimitzvah. What kind of Raya is this? Maybe by the Behema Gasa, we're going to give you a Knas of 10 times, because that's what the Chachamim thought an appropriate knas was. But by an Eved, where with a problem of selling an Eved to one of the Chachamim is that the Eved no longer ever performs mitzvahs. So the Chachamim thought that a larger knas was appropriate here. So says the Gemara, Vika Damri, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, it's the opposite. Hamocher avdo lavi Chachamim, konsenoso adasara bedamav. If you sell an Eved, they give you a knas of 10x. Dafka o lav dafka. Is it dafka or not? Tashma, Diyamar Reish Lakish, Amokar Behima Gasol Lovi Kachavim, Konsonoso Admea Bedamea. By a Beim Agasa, we're going to give you a knas up to 100x the value of the Beim Agasa. So we see by an Eved, it's Lav Dafka. Says the Gemara, no, Shani Eved Lo Hadarle. The reason that we only give a knas of 10 times is because the guy's never going to get back the Eved. So in other words, we're not going to kick him already when he's down. He already loses the Eved, therefore we're only going to give him a knas of 10x. Ela Behema, time of Mai, Mishum the Hadarle. But by Behema, what's the reason that the knas is so big? It's because the Behema ultimately is going to go back to the Jew and then he's going to sell it again. So we have to dissuade him from selling the Behema again by giving him even a greater knas. So says the Gemara, Liknesi Tvei Chad. I have an idea. You want a bigger knas than 10 times? How about 11 times the value of the Behema Gasa? You're going to go ratchet it up from 10 times to 100 times the value? That doesn't make any sense. Rather, an Eved, selling an Eved to an Eved Kachav is a Milsad L'Shchicha, and therefore by Milsad L'Shchicha, the Rabbanan weren't Gozer that much. They were only Gozer 10 times, but not 100 times the value of the Eved. Boimine, three lines up from the bottom. Rav Yirmi Amar Rav Asi. Mocher Avdo Umeis. Let's say the guy sold his Eved to an Akum, and then he's dead. So Maoshe Yiknesu B'Sbeno Achrav. Do we force his children to be Meshachrer the Eved? So Imtim Salomar, if you want to bring a riot from the following, Saramos and Bechor Umeis, if a person nicks the ear of a Bechor, so he makes the Bechor into a Balmum, therefore he doesn't have to give the Bechor to a Kohen, and then he dies, Kansu B'no Akra, we're going to prevent his kid from being Nene from this animal, because we're going to basically penalize the kid, because his father decided he wanted to shortchange the Kohen from getting this Bechor by making the Bechor into a Balmum. So we do impose a Knas on the kid, says the Gemara, Mishum Disuru Daraisu, because it's Nisa Daraisa to be Matalamum on a Bechor. Avalacha Isur Drabanan. But over here, it's only an Isur Drabanan to sell the Eved, and therefore maybe we're not going to impose a Knas. Vimtim Salam Arkiva Malachta Bamoidu Mace, Lo Konsumano Achrav. Maybe you'll bring a raya from the fact that if you basically saved up your work to do for Chol HaMoed, which you're not supposed to do, because on Chol HaMoed you're only able to do a Dover or Avod. So let's say the guy saves a whole bunch of work to do for Chol HaMoed, and then says, oh, it's Chol HaMoed, but it's all a Dover or Avod, so I have to do the work. So that's not the right way to behave. That's not the right way to treat Chol HaMoed. Umeis, and then he dies, lo kansu b'no achrav, then we're not going to give the knas to his kids. Maybe over there, the reason that we don't impose the knas on the kids is mishum d'lo avad isura, because he didn't do an Isser. In other words, all he did was he saved his work to be done for Chol HaMoed, and then he died before Yontif. So the question is, are his kids allowed to do the work on Chol HaMoed or not? It's because he never violated the Isser, because he never followed through and actually did the work. But Achamai, but what's the situation here where the guy sells his Eved to a guy? L'didei kansu rabbanan v'halesei. Do we impose the knas only on him and he's no longer here and therefore there's no more knas? Or maybe the knas is on the money and since his kids inherit the money, we're going to impose the knas on his kids. We have a raya. If you have a sadeh, a field which is cleared of thorns during the Shemitah year, Tizra l'matzoi shviyas. Then it's allowed to be planted on matzoi shviyas because the clearing of the thorns isn't considered working the land. Netaivo nedaira. If, however, the field was fertilized, either you actually fertilized the field or you stam had animals walk around the field knowing that the animals would leave deposits in the field and fertilize the field. Lo tizra l'matzoi shviyas. In that case, it cannot be planted on matzoi shviyas. V'emar Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina, Naktina, and Etiva, we have a brisa that says, Etiva, if you fertilize the field on shviyas, umeis, and then the guy dies, umeis, b'no zara, that his kid is allowed to plant the field on matzoi shviyas. Even though we said, if he were alive and he fertilized the field during shviyas, he wouldn't be able to plant the field. If he fertilized the field during shviyas and then he died, his son is able to plant the field. Alma l'didei kansu rabbanan l'brei lo kansu rabbanan. So we see it's a knas only for him, it's not a knas for his son. Amra Abaya, Naktinan, we also learn, Timei Torah shel chavero. If a person is metame the taros of his friend, umeis, and then he dies, Lo kansu rabbanan b'no achrav. The rabbanan did not impose the knas on his son. So another raya that the rabbanan do not impose knas on children. So my time, hezek shein nikar lav shmei hezek. And therefore, now the reason, says the Gemara, why the knas is not imposed on the kid over there in that case of timei taros of shel chavero is because that is hezek shein nikar. That is not apparent hezek because the item looks exactly the same. You are changing the spiritual quality of the item by being metame the item, but this is called a hezek shein nikar. The kansu the rabbanan uli didei kansu rabbanan levrela kansu rabbanan, and therefore the law is that the rabbanan only gave a knas to him, but did not give a knas to his son. But maybe it's not a raya to hear because that raya only applies. That halacha rather only applies to that other situation because it's a hezek she'en a nikar. Okay, so we had said in the Mishnah two cases. One where you sold an eved to a guy, that's what we've been talking about for the last 35 minutes. And then in the last 5 minutes, one who sells an eved outside of Eretz Yisrael. O l'chutz l'aretz, a ton of rabbanan. Hamocher avde l'chutz l'aretz, if a person sells his eved to chutz l'aretz, yatzal l'cheiriz, he goes free, v'tzarek get shichra, and he requires to get shichra, may rabo sheni, from his second master. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel Omer, Pamim Yatza, Pamim Lo Yatza. That sometimes he goes free, sometimes he doesn't go free. Ketzad, what does it mean? I thought if you sell your Revit out to Chutz La'aretz, then he goes free. So Amar Ploni Avdi Macharti Laploni Antuchia. If you say that this Eved is sold to some Antuchian, Antuchia was a place outside of Eretz Yisrael. So if you say that I'm selling my Eved to an Antuchian, Lo Yatza, he doesn't go free because we have no idea where this Antuchi is going to live with him. La Antuchi, Sheb Antuchia, if he says I'm selling my Eved to an Antuchi person who lives in Antuchia, then Yatza, because then it's apparent that he's being sold outside of Eretz Yisrael. Vatanya Machartiu L'Antuchi Yatza. However, but we said that if you sell him to an Antuchi Stam, then he does go free. L'Antuchi Ashore Belud Lo Yatza. But if you sell him to an Antuchi who we know lives in Eretz Yisrael, then he doesn't go free. Says the Gemara, so the Machlokas here is what happens if you sell him to an Antuchi Stam? Because in the Reisha it said he doesn't go free, in the Sefer it says he does go free. So Lo Kasha, Hadisle Beis of Eretz Yisrael, Hadisle Yishbiz of Eretz Yisrael. If he has a house in Eretz Yisrael and you sold him to an Antuchi Stam, then he doesn't go free because he has a house in Eretz Yisrael. If he only has a vacation home in Eretz Yisrael and you sold him to an Antuchi Stam, then he does go free because Mestama, he's going to take him to Chutz La'aretz. Boy, Rav Yirmiya, Ben Bavel Shanasa Isha Beretz Yisrael. Let's say you have a guy from Bavel who marries a woman who lives in Eretz Yisrael. V'chnisa lo avodim v'shvachos. And she brings in, as Nichsei Tzon Barzel, Avodim and Shvachos, V'dayta Lachzer, and he expects to return to Bavel. Mahu, what is the halacha? Is that considered to be like somebody who sold his Avodim outside of Eretz Yisrael to Chutz La'aretz, and is he required, therefore, is the Rabo Sheni, meaning the Baal, who has the benefit of these avodim, so long as the marriage is existent, do we force the Baal to free the avodim? Because the guy, this is a super great marriage, the guy marries a woman in Eretz Yisrael, but he intends on going back, on leaving her and going back to Babel. So what's the halacha? So tiboy lamandir maradini mo, tiboy lamandir maradini mo. So this machlokas applies whether we say adinima or adinimo. What is adinima? Adinima is there's a machlokas whether if the woman wants the nichsei tzon barzel back, is she entitled to get back the actual assets or is she only entitled to collect when the marriage is dissolved the value of the assets? So if she's actually entitled to the asset itself, then it's as if she owns it, right? It's as if it's more of a tfisa in the asset. There's the kasha according to the Mandi Amar says adinimo, meaning he could satisfy the nichsei tzon barzel return obligation by paying money. Tiboy the Mandi Amar adinimo. Kivan da adinima kedida adamu, because adinima, meaning she could always take the avadim back, are they considered to be hers? Odilma, kivan the mishabdile, le peyre kedide damu. Or maybe because they're obligated to provide peyros to the husband, they're considered to be his. Vidiboy le mandermer adinimo, and there's a kasha according to the mandermer, it says adinimo, that she can't get the avodim back, she could only get the money back. Kivan da dinimo kedidei damu. Since he could satisfy the obligation to return the nichsei tzon barzel by paying money, it's as if he owns the avodim, and therefore they go free because it's as if they were sold to Chutz La'aretz. Odilma kivan lo kanei le gofei kedidei damu. Or because The avodim, there's no kinyan aguf in the avodim. He doesn't actually own them. They're considered to be hers. Therefore, maybe the avodim don't go free. Teku, so we leave this as a suffix. We'll pick up with the two dots, God willing, tomorrow. Hope everybody has a wonderful day.